Welcome back. I'm George Norrie, Stephen Quayle, Dave Flynn, my guest. I'd like to get both your views on this question, beginning with you, Stephen. Do you believe that the structures on Mars were built there first, and then perhaps someone, they came here and built similar ones on planet Earth? Or do you think it was the other way around?
Well, I think it existed first on Mars because, again, when we're talking ancient history and we're talking about the whole idea of, let's say, the Greek pantheon of mythical gods, they're always known as Mount Olympus. You know, that was the abode of the gods. And Mount Olympus, or Olympus Mons, is the highest mountain that we know in our solar system, you know, close to 100,000 feet tall. So I think that it was there, and that's what I talked, George, about the word theurgy, which means the knowledge even of the buildings in these great and massive buildings. We're talking about, as you know, we've done the show on the giants, but we're talking about individuals that had literally the strength of sometimes 10, 20, 30 men. So if you've got people that can lift 10, 15 tons with one hand, it doesn't take 10 guys much to do, you know, 150 tons or whatever. But to answer your question very specifically, I believe that there was absolutely civilization on Mars that we still have the remnants of. And I believe that, obviously, our government knows this. I believe that other governments know this. And again, due to the RAND Corporation's infamous study that the American people and the people on the Earth can't handle the truth, they've kept a lot of this stuff from us and continue to keep us from us. It's my opinion soon to blow up in their faces, just like the Martian viruses that you and I spoke of on the last show that are believed to be in Antarctica, in Lake Vostok. The ramifications of that are almost right out of Chris Carter's X-File movie. And what we're talking about now is we're talking about not only just architectural structures with incredible intelligence, we're still talking about the beings, if you will, the fallen angels. Look, they didn't just all of a sudden disappear. We're talking about a higher form of intelligence, a higher form of intelligence that was out to mate with human women, to corrupt the seed, to destroy the image of God. And now we've got the alien abduction, and as you and I have talked about that before, the phenomenon that's interesting, the most interesting in the alien phenomenon, is the fact that it's always the sexual exploitation of the abductees, or the people that are being probed or having their sperm, or the ladies having their eggs removed. And then that gets right back to ancient history, that what the fallen angels tried to achieve by breeding with earth women, now they're doing, they, meaning the aliens, are doing through technology and with the same goal in mind. And with the same destruction that came upon the time of Noah due to all of the perversion that was out there. Look, every obelisk, you know, David's talking about megalithic structures. Every obelisk in the world is a phallic symbol. That's given, that's in antiquity. And in Britain alone, there are actual circular obelisks followed by a circular megalith, followed by an obelisk that are commemorating this event. In other words, the angels are not only saying Kilroy was here, but they're saying, look what we did to the women. And now we get to the point where why is the study of Mars so important? It's important because of the parallels. As Richard Hogan likes to say, we are the Martians. And I would say this, that the Martians are nothing more than fallen angels, and that the civilizations that they possessed are what the Golden Age, whether we're talking about Atlantis, Hyperborea, Thule, Mu, Lemuria, all of those, Shangri-La, Shambhala, all of these things go to almost a supernatural origin, and that we're soon to experience the same type, and are experiencing the same type mingling, and we're going to have catastrophic consequences. And that's why I wrote the book Genetic Armageddon, and that's why David's book Cydonia about the forbidden fruit, basically having to do not only with the fact of disobedience on Eve's part, But it brings in the whole thing about Malachi Martin. You know, I keep hearing the ads in the background. And remember this, Malachi Martin, when he spoke to Art, was very disturbed about the situation with Hale Bopp and what was happening in the heavens. You
right.
remember that?
Right.
And he was so disturbed that, you know, I think of all the times that was the most edgy or unnerved that I ever heard him on the air. But the point that I want to make is that there are people now in our government who absolutely know, listen, the images that they have of Mars that haven't been tweaked or manipulated or faked are absolutely stunning. I have talked to renegade agents from the world of black projects that talk about you wouldn't believe what is in possession or what the images are in the possession of the government. And also, the thing is that when you look at the whole alien phenomenon, it's always in the realm of they want to hybridize or build or genetically alter what is on the Earth and bring about a new race. And that's why Cydonia, if you, again, the knowledge of good and evil, once you understand that Mars actually is the seed of the knowledge of evil in our estimation, then you can follow through, and then it gives you a prophetic picture of what's coming in the future.
All right, I'm going to get back to you, Stephen, about the fallen angels theory that you just presented. But, David, let's get your thoughts, too, then. Do you agree that those structures that were built on Mars, those on Earth, that it was from Mars to Earth first?
Yeah, I do. And I also think that when I was talking about the Edfu text, the plan, according to the text, is that sometime in the future, after this cataclysm, there'd be a resurgence of the understanding that was intact before the cataclysm. And let me just illustrate just how intact that is, and also illustrate maybe the fact that there is a body of this information that's been moving forward through time intact, but with only a very select few people, the elite, the illuminated elite. The one place on our in our country, and this is a real strange thing, too, because this fits right back to what Cydonia...
Country or planet?
Sorry?
Country or planet?
In the United States.
All right.
In the United States, we have a center, a nerve center for our war-making powers. It contains the Army, Navy, Air Force, and it's taken the form of a pentagon.
Yes.
And because the geometry in Cydonia on Mars has this redundant number that keeps showing up in the angles, 19.47.
Mm-hmm.
It's always 19.47. It's rounded off to 19.5. And you could look at that same signature back at the Pentagon in the United States and actually realize that it's at the latitude, if you would take 19.5 twice at 39 degrees latitude, that's where Washington, D.C. is. And Arlington is exactly at that latitude also.
So what's the significance of that?
You have on Mars the symbol of the god of war to the Romans, and Ares, the god of war to the Greeks, a pentagon in the Cydonia region. The very object that we use, the very symbol that we've used in America to house our war-making power.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know that the name Europe is Cydonian? The Phoenicians didn't call themselves Phoenicians. They called themselves Cydonians, but the Greeks called them Phoenicians. Phoenician just means very red. The original Europa was a Cydonian princess, and in myth, she was the founder of the Minoan civilization. And what's interesting is that on top of that, the myth continues that her brother...
All right, let's get back to the Pentagon, though. Don't drift on me on this one, because...
Let me interject here. I think the important thing that again, this war, you know, where does war come from? Where did war originate? If we're chemically determined as a product of evolution, why is there this thing of free will? Why is there choice? And I think when you're talking about the Pentagon, what David's trying to simply say is that it's fascinating that this five-pointed structure is incorporated into the war-making machine of the United States. Listen, the Pentagon absolutely refers to ancient history as the time of the gods of the Sumerians. You and I did a show one time talking about this, George, and I got some feedback back from the people at the Pentagon, who, by the way, listen to this stuff incredibly intently. We monitor how many of their computers are on the show, and you can see them just the amount of military computers that click on and listen to this. They refer to what's getting ready to happen in their top secret briefing as dealing with the return of the Sumerian gods. So isn't it interesting that the very structure on Mars, the D&M pyramid, the most sacred symbol, is represented in our war-making machine, and our war-making machine points right back to this very time. In other words, they're looking forward. The Pentagon, I want to be specific, looks forward to this coming war, if you will, this supernatural heavenly war with UFOs and the whole War of the Worlds type scenario, and yet they're still in a structure that goes right back to Mars, which honors the god Ares, the god of war.
Well, let me take this approach. What if the Pentagon was designed, of course, by a very clever, creative architect who knew of Martian percents and angles and degrees, and figured, you know what, this would be a great tie-in for the Pentagon?
Well, I suggest you're really close with that statement, but it could even have been subconscious, or even gotten into the realm of the spiritual with, a spiritist type influence in his life. Look, you know, the thing that there's no argument with what you just said, but again, the coincidences are too great to be dismissed as just coincidences, fantasy, science fiction, or guys, having too much to drink or something. The point is that your very question is reflected in the answer itself. He could have chosen, a square building. He could have chosen an octagon. He could have chosen whatever, but he chose the Pentagon. And again, if it were any other building, you could say, oh, that's just chance or coincidence. But again, when it's the major reference for war, and Mars is always associated with war, just like its two moons, Phobos, meaning fear, Deimos, meaning demons. So you've got demons, fear, and war, and now we've got it expressed in the Pentagon, and we've got a situation that's fast getting out of hand.
Well, it was designed, of course, by a fellow by the name of George Bergstrom. It does not say how he came up with a very novel idea of the pentagonal plan, but he indeed did it. I wonder if he had any knowledge of Martian activity or anything. Who knows?
That could be where the concept of theurgy that Steve was talking about comes in, too. But you have to realize that even our own alphabet is in some way Sidonian. And I'm talking about that transfer of knowledge from the Sidonian coast into Europe, into the Mediterranean. Way, way back in Greek history, they talk about how Cadmus traded the Phoenician alphabet over to the Greeks. But they had no alphabet, so they actually just inherited it straight across. And if you actually look at the alphabet, in the Semitic proto-Phoenician alphabet that could be classified as Sidonian, because the Bible actually talks about these people who lived there and called them Sidonians, and they shared the same language, the writing, is that you look at Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Daleth in the Semitic, it's Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta in the Greek, and they trade straight across to A, B, C, G. We have the same shapes of the letters that go all the way back to that place where the knowledge came from. And you can see other Sidonian signatures on this earth, other Martian signatures. Like, take, for example, Mexico City, a place from, since 1991, one of the biggest UFO flaps has occurred continuously to this day. And there's a blackout here, a media blackout about what's going on there, but most people don't realize that the history of that place is completely Martian. In 1325 A.D., there was a group of people who actually called themselves Sons of the Dog. Now, that's a really Martian idea to begin with, because the Roman founders, Romulus and Remus, and they were myth, but they were also sons of a dog in some way. They were sons of Mars, but they had a surrogate wolf mother. And anyway, these people from Mexico, they were at the border of where Texas and Mexico meet at the time, were told by their war god, Huitzilopochtli, to move south for some unknown reason and to look for a sign, which they had to look for because their war god had told them that they have to move. It's incumbent on them that they do it or the earth would be destroyed. And according to the Aztec myth, Huitzilopochtli, the war god, had actually fought other forces in the heavens to keep the earth from being destroyed. So they moved south and they found this symbol, which was an eagle with a snake in its talons. And they built their city at this place. It just happened to be a mosquito-infested swamp, some of the worst real estate you could possibly pick. But this is exactly on the latitude of 19.47. And it's interesting because that falls right back again at Cydonia Mars.
Okay, but why is the geometry so important here, David? I mean, I'll give you the fact that there are a lot of bizarre similarities between degrees here, all around the planet. The question is why?
The geometry speaks to every human being. You don't have to have a language barrier.
Are these messages to us?
That's exactly what they are. They're a message directly to humanity. They're trying to explain what was and what can be, just like the message of Edfu was explaining that there is something about what we see on Mars that causes us to look back again at our own history, because that's pretty much all we can do. We can't depend on NASA to really say what's up there. But if we have that catalyst, we're forced to look back at our history and say, what does this symbol mean on Earth? And where is it on Earth? And why is it arranged the way it is? And that's why I think Steve and I have been talking about the megalithic structures, too, because we see these things, and in modern times we can't comprehend how they were put together. That's a really good example. In Peru, there's a place called Sacsayhuaman. It's in the form of a incredibly huge geomantic puma. And these stones weigh up an average of 200 tons each. They're each faceted individually, so that you can insert a razor blade or a piece of paper between them.
Again, much like the pyramids, you have to say, how in the heck did they move them?
And there's a technology that's embedded in that, because we can't figure out how to do them now, even though we talk about being in the rocket age and the nuclear age. There was a technology before this great cataclysm that exceeds our own, and it's coming back. That's what the message is. But and the only way it's going to come back is if we actually can start studying this reality, that there was a alternate history, that there was something that was going on that had a connection with another race of being.
Well, what happened to that race, David? I mean, where did they go? Because it seems like the technology just fell away.
That's a dawning question for a lot of people, because they think within human constructs, they think if there's a structure on Mars, then whatever being made it did it for shelter, or they did it because they needed to live inside of it in some way. That may be true to some extent, but I think these beings, at least how they're characterized in history, didn't build for that reason at all. They built purely for an expressive mode. They did everything they built was architecturally designed to speak knowledge. And when they built on Earth, they were trying to communicate to the future by using what was on Mars that they knew would stay, at least for the future, they'd be able to actually see it and then bring that knowledge back to the Earth again. And so their worlds were destroyed. They still exist. They don't exist, I guess, perhaps we could say they exist in a dimension that's coexisting with ours. And sometimes they do manifest in a form.
You said something interesting, David, and I want to ask you about it when we come back, about a group of people that may have some knowledge of all this right now on the planet. And we, of course, have always thought about this government above a government. I wonder if that's what you're talking about. I'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now.